Welcome and thank you for joining Dr. Tim Franklin with sermons from Sunday at Freedom Christian Center in Melbourne, Florida. For more information about Freedom Christian Center, visit us on the web at houseoffreedom.org.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Yes, Luke. We need to pray for this section right here because they're all on vacation or something. But it's going to be a good day in the Word. Thank you, Rihanna, for that. Where'd she go? She like disappeared. Well, thank you, Rihanna, for sharing. She did a great job. We just got to get a brighter projector or something that she can see those slides clear. You know, it does excite my heart to hear the testimony that she shared about the marriages in Chapepo, because I'm telling you, the first marriage conference out there was like pick and shovel in a granite field. It was hard. And then to see the progress that's being made and watching marriages come alive, that's exciting. Watching husbands and wives honor one another. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So turn to your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. I'll start eventually at verse 8. But hopefully you noticed as you came in this morning, a little nativity set being set up out there. And you might have thought, well, where's everybody else? You just have to keep coming back. Because each week we're going to add a little bit more to that nativity, because it's really serve as a reminder to us the Christmas story and the people who actually participated in it. And not only that, but it's also to be used to bring us into the story. As I shared last week, we don't want to be just outsiders observing something that happened, because we are participants whether we like it or not. You are a part of the Christmas story. In fact, you are the main event. Without you, guess what? It would have never happened. But Jesus, looking down, seeing us as separated from Him, decided, hey, Father, I'll go. I'll pay the price. I'll become the sacrifice to make a way for them to become a part of the kingdom of heaven. And so His leaving heaven and being born was really about us becoming sons of God, that we would be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so don't read the Christmas story as an outsider. Read it and believe it and become an insider, an actual participant in it. Does anybody know what the word nativity, what that means? Come on, all you smart people out there, you say it all the time, but you don't have a clue what you're talking about? Birth. Okay, finally, somebody looked at my notes. Yeah, the word nativity comes from a Latin word which means birth. It literally means the event of a birth. So it's not a verb as birth or birthing. It's a noun that talks about the event of a birth. So when we use the word nativity, we're actually talking about the event of the birth of Jesus. That's why you have shepherds and wise men and Joseph and Mary and mangers, all that stuff, because it's the event. You have the angels, you have Zachariah and Elizabeth. It's an event. It's a big story. And it's called the Nativity. This famous Catholic guy, what was his name? Francis of Assisi. Anybody ever heard of him? Yeah. In the year 1223, Assisi thought, you know, it'd be pretty cool if we put like a little nativity, the event of the birth, and we told that story in front of the church. And so St. Francis of Assisi created this nativity scene with shepherds and baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary, and it just stuck. The church said, man, that's an awesome thing, and we've been doing it ever since. Now, is that a bad tradition? No, not at all. It's the nativity. It is the event of the birth of the Son of God. There's a story behind this thing. And so when you think of nativity, don't think of that little thing that you hang up or you got set out in your house somewhere. Think of it as the event. It's the event, not of a lifetime. It's the event of, not a century, It's an event of eternity. Yes, the eternal ramifications of this event is absolutely incredible. So with verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, that night, what night? Now, I want to fit the scriptures together for you this morning. Remember Joseph and Mary from last week, they showed up in Bethlehem because they have to report for the census. And so Joseph was forced to put his wife on a donkey, ride 90 miles. Do that, women. Do that, men. Rides 90 miles, shows up, and there's no place for him to stay. All the families, I mean, it wasn't just Joseph and Mary that was coming in for the census. It was everybody whose ancestry came out of Bethlehem. They had to go back, report in for this census. By the time Joseph and Mary got there, because he had to stop a few times, his wife was pregnant. By the time Joseph and Mary got there, they were there late and there was no place. So because there was no place at the inn, they were forced to go into a barn, basically a stable. You following? So the prior scripture says there was no room at the inn. That night, or that day, I should say, that day Jesus is born. He's born, verse 8, that night. So Jesus is born that night. What happens? No, Jesus is born in a day. That night, what happens? The angels show up and visit these shepherds who are out in the field taking care of their sheep. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Not one shepherd. Not two shepherds. They're not telling us how many. Just a bunch of shepherds with a bunch of sheep are out there guarding their flocks at night. Now, this we do know, that shepherds were able to come together with their flocks, put everything together, and you can guard them better as a team than you can just one at a time. That if you're doing it by yourself, you can't sleep. If you're doing it together, then you know, you can sleep while somebody else is watching over the sheep, or if a big bad wolf shows up, then you can all go out there and conquer the wolf together, the lion, whatever, and take care of your sheep. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Verse 15, when the angels had returned, everything went back to normal for the angels. When the angels had returned, I wish I could preach that message, back to normal. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. It was the event of eternity. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, went back to normal. They went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Amazing story. It's the event that we want to talk about these few weeks. So according to Luke's gospel, the angelic announcement of the birth of the Savior of the world, he wasn't born into a house of dignitaries. He wasn't born into a house, you know, the religious leaders of that day. But it was shepherds that got to hear the first announcement of the birth of the Son of God. Angels didn't go to dignitaries. Angels didn't go to the high priests of the day, the religious leaders of the day. The angels went to these shepherds who were out tending their flocks. Now, what I want us to see is that while these recipients of the message were important to God, especially important to God's plan, it does at least cause me to ask the question, why shepherds? Did you ever wonder that? Why did you pick that group to go announce the birth of your son? As far as that goes, it prompts another question. Why me? You got the same announcement that they got. If you haven't, you're going to get it today. So why me? And that prompts even a bigger question. What am I going to do with the announcement that I've received? That's the question for you this morning. What are you going to do with this announcement that the angels made today? Because it's an announcement for you, not just for shepherds. So let's look at these guys. Number one, if you're following along in the notes, who were these guys? Who were these shepherds? I like the shepherds. It might be because I grew up on a farm and, you know, I'm kind of inclined to lean into the animals a little bit and the grains and all the other fun stuff that comes along with farming. But another question here is why I like the shepherds, kind of prefer them a little bit more, is that God is giving hope to the lowest people group, the lowest social order of that day. Hear that again. God is giving hope to the lowest social order of the day. You talk about outcasts, that's shepherds. Yet God chooses to go to the shepherds to make the announcement there. Now let me interject something here, because there could be somebody sitting in here that's not a low life. There could be somebody in here that's not at the bottom of the food chain, you're at the top. But if you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're living the high life with a low life heart, you're no different than the shepherds. And God's intention is to go to those who are the lowest social status, or that they're lowest in their heart. He chooses to go because He wants to visit you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Let's learn some more about these shepherds. First of all, you know, I'm referring to the shepherds as a lowlife today. It wasn't always that way. Have you ever heard of these guys? Abraham. Anybody ever heard of Abraham? He was a shepherd. Moses. Heard of him? Another shepherd. David. Shepherd. In fact, David wrote a song that we still sing and quote today, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. See, in the Old Testament, shepherds had a really high view in God's eyes and the eyes of people. But something happens a few centuries before the birth of Christ, and that shepherds start getting a lot of bad publicity ratings. The reason why is they suddenly became, if you were a shepherd, most generally you were poor. If you were a shepherd, you weren't the best dressed. If you were a shepherd, you were an outcast. Most of them lived outside. They weren't very refined people. They weren't all that educated. And the worst thing of all, they smelt like sheep. If you've ever been around sheep, sheep stinketh. Especially wet ones. They really reeketh. Now, there's a Hebrew term that was used in Jesus' day. And that Hebrew term, I'll try and say it, Amharetz. Amharetz. It simply means a commoner, a person of the land. If you were an Amharetz, that was not a compliment. It would have been like when I was a kid, redneck's kind of a, you know, that's a pretty kind of cool thing to have. Somebody call you redneck today, it's like, all right. But when I was a kid, somebody called you a redneck, you start fights over that. Because that's what that word, that Hebrew word right there means, is a commoner, a person of the land. It really was a put down. So these shepherds were at the low end of the importance spectrum. It wasn't the lowest social class of people, but you could see it from there. They were down there. So the last place you would expect God to show up with a very important announcement would be to those people. So when I say, why shepherds? We need to see the local color of the deal, because what God is doing is huge. It's huge. This thing's really big. We don't want to overlook it. So the shepherds were considered not worthy of God. We're gonna dig into this. When we look at Mary, Mary was a pure virgin, pure woman of God, virgin. Then we look at Joseph, and what did they say about Joseph? A righteous man. Look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were righteous. And nothing anywhere in Scripture that indicates that for the shepherds. Why? Because they were just common folks. They're the outcasts out there. Now, here's the other thing we need to understand about shepherds. How many have ever seen sheep poop? You know, these little pellets start flying all over the place. Do you think shepherds from time to time stepped in it? Yeah, so you just can't avoid it. And from time to time, don't you think there'd probably be a lamb that would die? Or disease, or, you know, other things you encounter and as you're taking care of sheep? Here's what we don't understand. Those things make you unclean. By law, they make you unclean. And if you're unclean by the law, you can't go into the temple and worship. Now, the law does make a provision. It makes a way for the shepherd to be able to go into the temple and worship God. But that means you have to leave your sheep, usually for about at least 3 days while you're going through the ceremonial washing and cleansing so that you're prepared to worship. So the shepherd is unclean because he stepped in it. And here's the weird part. He's taking care of the very lambs that are going to be used for sacrifice in the temple. The little lambies can be brought in even though they step in it. But if you're a shepherd and you step in it, you can't worship, so you're left out. So that's the dilemma of the shepherds. So they are not only social outcasts, but in the eyes of people, they are spiritual outcasts. They are far from God. And what I want you to hear today, it doesn't matter how far away from God you may feel or you may be today, God is willing to make a way and touch your life right where you are. That's what makes this shepherd story really, really exciting, because God blew everybody else out of the way and went to the people group that was at the low end of the totem pole, so to speak, that they might hear this incredible announcement that he was making. So at the time of Christ, worship was associated with the temple, but if you were a shepherd, you weren't able to come in and worship God that way. So they were basically all locked out. Can't get close to God. So they just stayed out, slept under the stars. Had their own temple out there. If you ever had a chance to sleep out under the stars, go to Chepepo and do that. Because it's so dark out there, man, you can see stars like you can't see here in Vieira. A lot of people consider themselves far away from God. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Why, if I walked into that church, the roof would fall in. Huh? Or, you know, you don't want me to come to church. If I stepped in there, but God would zap me. That's kind of my prayer. Maybe not what they're thinking, but where do those comments come from? Those comments come from a heart or a thought process, a belief system that says, I'm too far away from God to do that. That's what the shepherds were saying. I can't go in there. If I walked in there, I'd get zapped by God. Far away from God. People still feel that way today. They feel alienated from God because of their own sin or just what they've been through in life. They might be good people but have a bad past, and just think, you know, I can't get close. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. No, this story right here with the shepherds proves to us that God goes to the great distance to reach us right where we are. So what's so great about the Christmas story is that although culture, even church culture, may consider people unclean, God literally chooses these shepherds, these lowlifes, these social outcasts to go and reveal his son to. God is still doing the same thing today with people. In his eyes, there are no social outcasts. In his eyes, there are nobody who is a worse sinner than anybody else. We are all sinners in need of a Savior, and we need saving. God goes to whomever to reach their hearts. That's the good news of the gospel. Romans 5:8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. You see the extent that God has gone to there? And Jesus coming as a baby to be the sacrificial Lamb of God at the end of his life, again, is demonstrating the love of God towards us. Here's another cool thing about babies I've seen through the years. I've been around some really hard people in some really difficult situations at times. But whenever a baby shows up, I mean, I've seen big old tattooed mean-looking bikers that just go, ooh. You know, there's something about a baby that just gets the human heart. Innocence, tender. It draws, let me protect you, out of the human heart. God sends this beautiful baby, his son, into the world because he wants those who are far to come near and to see. Amen. Number two, what did these angels see and hear? What did they see and hear? So we know who they are, but what do they actually see and what do they actually hear? First of all, first thing that happens, big angel shows up. What verse is that? Verse 9. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance, everybody say radiance. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So a big angel shows up. He's by himself. This guy like warrior angel. So I got an announcement to make. Now, he's not just like me showing up on the platform. If I could get myself transfigured and have light coming out of me and out of my garments, that's what these guys would be seeing. So big angel shows up out there while they're taking care of their sheep, and the radiance, the Greek word for radiance is lampo, L-A-M-P-O. Everybody say lampo. It's a word which we get the word lamp. It means to shine. So the angel shows up like a lamp, and he is shining. I mean, there are like lights that is lighting the area. Now, this may be far-fetched, but it's a true story. My wife and I were sitting by a river in Illinois one night. We were worshiping. We went down there for the purpose of getting alone with God. Well, actually, we went with the day, but the sun went down because the presence of God was there, and we just didn't want to leave. In the midst of worshiping the Lord, we were singing this old song, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place." So we've been meditating on the Scriptures. Now we're singing this the singing the Scriptures, or singing that song. And I'm telling you, it is so dark where we're at, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I know how to get out of there, but you can't see your hand in front of your face. And all of a sudden, while we're singing, the place lit up bright. Didn't it? Bright. Freaked me out. I thought, oh man, we're in trouble now, because we were down in an area we weren't supposed to be. Park rangers are coming to arrest us. And I look up, and across the river, there are five bright lights in the treetops. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord, the angelic presence of the Lord was right there. You could see to read a book. That's how bright it was. Radiance. These shepherds are out there, and one shows up, and the place lights up with the glory of God. The word glory there is doxa. And it literally means the presence, the supernatural presence of God that is emanating from this angel that captures the attention. The doxa captures the attention because it's surreal but yet real. It draws you into it. You both terrified and wanting more at the same time. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. They were terrified. And the first thing the angel says was, it's not a trick question. Don't be afraid. I've got good news. Because remember, when you're an outcast, a lowlife, bottom of the totem pole, shepherd, all of a sudden an angel shows up, you're like, oh, dude, what do we do now? They were nervous. But the angel says, don't be terrified. I have good news. I want to teach you another Greek word, euangelion. Euangelion. That's just a fun one to say. Come on. Euangelion. That's the word we get for gospel. It means good news. The angel says, I have euangelion. I have got good news for you. So don't be afraid that you're going to like what I have to say. Now, this word, good news, the best way to say it is it's an announcement. The good news is an announcement about something. It was most often used of a runner who would come back from a battle, and that runner would run all the way back to the city to give a report of what had happened in the battle. And the runner that's coming back, most of the time when you saw him, you know, he's coming with a smile on his face because he has an announcement to make. So the runner would run back and he would announce the victory. You getting that? So the people who are seeing the runner come running into the city, they are expecting a report. And when he announces that we have won, there is great joy in the city. There's a lot of shouting, a lot of singing, a lot of dancing that's going on at that point. The angel says, I have euangelion. I have a good report. I have a report of victory today. This is nothing for you to be afraid of. In fact, you're going to really, really like what I have to announce. So they're on the edge of their rocks. And they're going, tell us. Tell us the euangelion. Tell us this announcement of victory. We've got expectation here that's about to happen. And so he says the announcement is this, nativity, birth event. See, the angel's not going, hey, there's a baby born in Melbourne today. Now this angel's going, birth event, man. This is the event of eternity that just went down just a couple hours ago. It's the event of eternity. Shepherds are going, event of eternity. Tell me about it. What kind of event is this? Well, I'm so glad you're asking, the angel says. Here's the announcement. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This announcement right here is good news, and the good news brings great joy. So I'm watching all these World War II movies while my knee's recovering, my shoulder's recovering. And one of the cool things I like about watching these old World War II movies is like these cities in France and the Netherlands that once the Germans had been driven out, people came out into the streets like crazy. They packed the streets, man, and they're celebrating, they're shouting, they're giving the soldiers hugs and kisses as they come streaming into town. That's good news. Euangelion, the victory has taken place, and he is Christ. He is Messiah. He is Lord. And the event went down today in Bethlehem. Shepherds are going, oh, this is so cool. We love this message. The angel says, I got more. Here's your sign. You will find him in Bethlehem in a manger. And he'll be wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Now, why is that exciting if you're a shepherd? Yeah, in their hood, that's for sure. Manger? You don't put babies in mangers. Manger, that's where sheep eat. Manger. So the shepherds are going, cool, one of us was born in a barn. He's Christ, he's Messiah, and he's Lord. Because the baby's in a manger, as a shepherd, I can go right into the barn. You getting this? See, if he'd been born in Herod's palace, do you think a shepherd would have stood a chance of getting in? Not at all. Do you see how cool God is when he puts all this stuff together? That if you're going to get, how are you going to get a fully pregnant woman to Bethlehem? She lives in Nazareth with her husband Joseph. How are you going to do that? Well, you have Augustus Caesar create a census. How are you going to do that? Well, he hates Herod, and to make Herod's life miserable, he wants this census done. That makes that Joseph and Mary now has to come to Bethlehem. It's just beautiful how God orchestrates all the details. Now the shepherds are hearing this awesome announcement. Here's your sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloth snugly in a manger. Let me let you in on another clue. Bethlehem is not the size of Vieira. It's a cool city. It's not the size of Melbourne. Not the size of Rockledge. Those are all way too big. Let's say Holapaw. If you don't know where that's at, you look it up on a map today. Now, I didn't grow up in Holapaw, but it wasn't much bigger. I think there's like 800 people in my town now. Do you know what? If you would have said to me as a 17-year-old in Milford, Illinois, the baby's going to be born in a barn, I know where every barn is in the county. Not because I've been in every barn, but I've been down every road. So when the angel says to the shepherd, you will find this baby in Bethlehem, it's not going to be like finding a needle in a haystack. These shepherds, because they're shepherds, they know where every manger is in the area. Chances are they probably knew the very one that Joseph and Mary were in. Isn't this cool how God does all this? So what did they see? So a big angel shows up and he makes this announcement that the Messiah has been born. The word Savior means salvation, of course, which gets forgiveness of sin, but it's much bigger. The Savior is not only salvation for our souls, but it's healing for our bodies. Deliverance and protection. All that comes with the word Savior. The word Messiah means Christos, or the anointed one. The anointing implies authority that's been given to us, or given to him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all authority. He has the authority to save. He has the authority to heal. He has the authority to deliver and protect. Last but not least, he is Lord, Kyrios, which combines both authority and power. Not only does he have authority, he has the power to carry out whatever it is that's in his heart. Now, if you're a shepherd and you're a commoner and an angel shows up and tells you this, this is some really good news. Right? They are excited about this. So now they not only have the good news, they have the sign, and then he no longer gets out to them this message and the sign where they'll find them, and then all of a sudden the whole sky is filled with angels. I'm talking kaboom. This is like Trans-Siberian Orchestra kaboom Christmas. It explodes with music. Can you imagine? You're a shepherd sitting out here enjoying the stars. The only thing you ever get is maybe a harp that's missing a couple of strings. Ting, ting, ting. And all of a sudden, whoa, all of heaven's armies is right out here above us. And they're singing. And they're singing a new song. Glory to God in the highest. We're talking announcement now. This thing is powerful. This thing is big. This thing is awesome. God is making an impression on these castaways so that when they go to tell, it's going to be a story. It's going to be an experience and a story that's going to be told with passion that burns in their heart. They're happy about this thing. Glory to God in the highest. What's the good news? God did this for common folks. He did it for common people. Not the elites, not the one percenters. He did it for the castaways, the cast out of which we all are. Now, what did they do? Who are these guys? What did they see? What did they hear? What did they do? That takes us back to my question in the introduction. Why shepherds? Why me? It's really not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with the announcement that you've heard? That's the question. What are you personally going to do today with the announcement that Jesus Christ is your Savior, He's your Messiah, and He's your Lord? See, if you don't know Him as that, what are you going to do? And if you already know all those things, what are you going to do? Let me show you what the shepherds did. First of all, they had faith. Angel shows up, they're terrified. They're terrified. Oh my gosh, what have we done? You know, they're believing what's unfolding before them. This is real. This is not a bad dream. This is happening right now. We all are experiencing it. If I'd have been down by the river and I said I just saw angels by myself, people probably thought I was crazy, but my wife was there. She saw them too. The angels are going, oh my goodness. Faith. How do we know they have faith? Because the angel said to them, don't be afraid. They were believing what they were seeing right there at that point. But they took what they were seeing and what they were hearing, and they actually perceived that God was talking to them. How do we know that? Easy. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. The angel came delivering the good news about the Christ who was born in Bethlehem. That what that says to us, whosoever will believe shall become a child of God. Whosoever will believe, that removes all social limitations. All. So number one, we know what they did. They had faith. They believed the message. So the question is, are you believing the message today? Number two, they acted. They acted on what they saw and what they heard. Because in verse 15, the shepherds say, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. And the second thing they say, let's see this thing that happened. Two action words. Let's go, let's see. Let's go, let's see. They're not going to sit around and wait for Fox News to give the report on this thing. They're like, no, we're going to go now. We ourselves are going to go to Bethlehem, and we're going to see this thing that the Lord has done. Both of those are responses of faith. Number three, they told everybody. They told everybody. Anybody that would stop long enough for them to tell, they were talking about that what the angels said and about the birth of this child. They instantly became proclaimers. No, they didn't have a pulpit. They didn't have a microphone. But they told whosoever would stop and listen. Here's what happened to us tonight as we were out there watching over our sheep. And as the people listened, what's it say of them? They were astonished. Tha'uma, astonished. That means it brought joy to their hearts in this situation. It caused an awe, a sense of awe, a sense of wonder to spring up within them. Maybe people have lost their wonders because the church has lost the ability to tell the story. When was the last time you told the story? Your story. Your story in such a way that it caused people to want what you found. I believe that a lot of believers are so familiar with their story, it's old stuff. You need to go back and think about your story and tell the story. The account of your new birth, it was an event. They told everyone. Number four, they rejoiced. As they went back to their flocks, they were glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. They're not worshiping in a temple anymore. They figured out, hey, we can worship right here, right now, right where they are. We're not acceptable for the temple, but we are acceptable to God. That's a beautiful word. And then last but not least, they returned to their flocks. Now listen to this. Listen carefully. For most people, life doesn't change when we meet God. Let me say it again. For most people, life doesn't change when we meet God. How we live that life changes because God has changed us. See, the majority of people who meet Christ, for me, my testimony, it's not any better, or bigger. It's different. Because when I got born again, I shifted out of a pursuit of a career field into something totally different. Changed my life. For most of you, you get born again, you're going to go back to the same job. You're going to be married to the same spouse. You're going to have the same kids. It's going to be life, going back to life as normal. What's different is how you live that life because God has changed you. Let's stand to our feet.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Tim Franklin at Freedom Christian Center in Melbourne, Florida. Be sure to visit us at houseoffreedom.org and have a blessed week.